Welcome to Seeking Paradise, reflections on spirituality, community, and justice.
This is a poem from Daniel Ladinsky, inspired by the poet Rabia of Basra. Ironic, but one of the most intimate acts of our body is death. So beautiful appeared my death, knowing who then I would kiss. I died 1,000 times before I died. Die before you die, said the Prophet Muhammad. Have wings that feared ever touched the sun? I was born when all I once feared I could love. Many years ago, there was a woman called Kisagatami. And this woman, unfortunately, lost her son. Her young son, died, and she was entirely overwhelmed with grief. And she strapped the body of her son to her body and went in the village where she lived from house to house, saying, "Do you know of any medicine that will raise my son from the dead?" Of course, everyone said no such medicine exists. But one person said, "I think you should go and speak to the Buddha." And so she went and she found the Buddha in grief with that son of hers strapped to her body, and explained that he had died and that she was seeking a medicine that would raise him from the dead. The Buddha looked with compassion on her and said, "I can help you. I will make a medicine, but I'll just need some mustard seeds." The woman said, "That's great. I can get you some mustard seed." The Buddha said, "You must get me some mustard seed, but you're going to have to get it from a house that has never seen death, a house where a son or a daughter or a mother or father or uncle or aunt or brother or sister or sibling or parent or grandparent has never died." "Okay," she said, and Kisagatami went off to seek that mustard seed. She knocked on the door and said, "Can I borrow some mustard seed?" And she was answered by her neighbor saying, "Yes, you can borrow some mustard seed." But then she said, "Oh, but can I ask, has anyone ever died in this house?" And her neighbor said, "Well, yes, my mother has died." So she said, "Well, that's no good to me," and went to the next house and knocked again. "Can I borrow some mustard seed? But I have to ask you, has anyone died in this house?" And the next neighbor said, "Yes, someone's died in this house. The dead are many and the living are few." And every house she went to, house by house, she said, "Has anyone ever died in this house?" And they said, "Yes." And they would describe the person who had died to her and tell her about that person who had died. Eventually, Kisagatami could not find a mustard seed from a house that had never seen death. And so she returned to the Buddha. And the Buddha said, have you found the mustard seed? And she said, "No, I haven't found any mustard seed from a house that hasn't seen death. Every house had someone who had died. Every family had someone who had died. And every family told me of their grief. And I told them of my grief." And the Buddha nodded, and Kisagatami nodded. Then she went out and she buried her son. And she grieved for her son. Then she returned to the Buddha and became his disciple. I've been doing, in some ways, something similar to Kisagatami in the last year, 18 months. Not asking for mustard seed, but knocking on my neighbor's doors here in Riverside and asking for stories about the pandemic. This is part of the work I do with community arts organization, Gentle Radical. I, with others, have been doing this work of asking for the stories of what's been going on in the houses that have been places of residence and places of shelter amongst the storm of the pandemic. And many of them responded to this question, and we collected the stories into a series of audio episodes that we've called Doorstep Revolution. And one of those episodes that I think is one of the best ones is the episode on death and grief. Most of that episode is taken up by just two people. One of them lost several family members, including one to COVID, and another whose mum was diagnosed with cancer on the week of the first lockdown, and whose mother died some months later. They're such precious, intimate stories, and I feel so honoured and privileged to have heard them. And I'd really recommend, you know, listening to that. It's on the website that I shared in our latest newsletter. One of those people we interviewed was called Pretty, and she had talked so beautifully about the last months that she spent with her mother. And she ended by saying this: "Well, I would just like to say thank you for giving me the opportunity to share my experience over the last year, and also during the pandemic. You know, as we try to slowly emerge on the other side of it. And all I can really say to anybody out there is that whatever is going on in your life, wherever you're at in your life, or whatever experience you've had during the pandemic, always remember that, you know, there are always people out there who are less fortunate than us, and gratitude is everything. And, you know, being mindful and being present and really being so, so grateful, whether it's that glass of water on the table or whether it's being in the warm. I think gratitude is everything. And if there's any lesson that I've taken from the pandemic to share, is that I've certainly become eternally far more grateful, not only for the time of the people around me during the pandemic, not just my mum, but also moving forward, all the things we have, many of us take for granted. And I will never take them for granted again." That beautiful wisdom that Priti shared in that interview really demonstrates the universal wisdom that spiritual growth comes from coming to terms with death. Just like Priti, just like Kisagatami, we are faced with the task of facing death as one of the greatest spiritual tasks. This is why religion and spiritual traditions teach the importance of understanding death. And this is true even if, you know, like me, you're pretty agnostic about the afterlife. Like, you know, I don't know. I'm not concentrated on that. It's not about being concerned with rewards and punishments. That's not what awakened spirituality looks like. That's still about fear. That's still about fear. Perfect love casts out fear. Spirituality is not about fear. Authentic spirituality is not about fear. It's about realizing that everything changes. Nothing lasts forever. It's about realizing that everyone is holding grief in their hearts and trying to remember to be gentle. And it's about realizing that I am going to die and I need to come to terms with that. And to come to terms with that fact, I am going to die, is to begin to die before you die, as Prophet Muhammad said. Because if you realize, if you truly realize you're going to die, it means you realize all the things that will die with you. It will all die with you. Whether you've had a really impressive career or very little of a career because of life circumstances, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. It's all periphery. All that dies when you die. It will all die. You know, do you have impressive letters after your name? Doesn't matter. That all dies. Do you have an identity as a doctor or teacher, a lawyer, an artist, a minister, a priest? Doesn't matter. All of that will die. A commoner or a king or queen, doesn't matter. All of that will die. Is your identity based on what country you're coming from? Or if you're a parent, what political tribe you belong to? It doesn't matter. All of that dies. Vanity, vanity, all is vanity, as Ecclesiastes say. It's all dust in the wind. It's all just dust, and it ends in dust. That's why if you're a billionaire, you're really stupid. You're really stupid. I'm sorry. It's true. If you're a billionaire, you're stupid. What are you a billionaire for? You're going to die soon. You won't be able to spend that money that you have. It's actually impossible to spend that money that you have. Like, you're not going to live for 10,000 years. Therefore, you don't need to be a billionaire. I mean, you literally don't need that money. It's what are you saving for? It's nonsense. If you're a billionaire, you're really stupid. Because you haven't worked out that you're going to die. It's absolute nonsense. To dust you shall return. To dust you shall return. That's what Christians are told once a year on Ash Wednesday. You're going to die. You're going to die. Realize it. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. Realize the beauty, the power of life. That you're ignoring. Forget this stuff. But, you know, we don't realize this, the truth of this. It's so easy not to live in the truth of this, in the truth that life is short and that we're going to die and be caught up in the things that really don't matter in the end. You know, I do that. We all do that, right? I get caught up in my tax return or what someone thinks about me, or a thousand other stupid things. You know, we are strange humans. Human beings are strange things. That's why we need these practices of remembering. That's all religion ever is. It's reminding us of everything we already know. Reminding us of everything we already know, but we always forget. So we have to be reminded again and again and again and again and again. And one of the things we're reminded of is death. Because to be in a state of remembering is to become amazed at life. It is to die before you die. It is to let fear die. And to let fear die is to encounter, you know, the dance of life, the really real, the holy and nameless. When it's over, says our Saint Mary Oliver, I want to say all my life I was a bride married to amazement. I was the bridegroom taking the world into my arms. May it be so.